Psalm 117, the briefest chapter in the Bible, obviously then the shortest psalm, but not short on content for our consideration in worship as we meditate on God's word together. Dealing with such a short psalm, and in the afternoons we tend to focus, we sing one psalm, we've been preaching through the psalms, and so obviously this will be a shorter time, because we have a shorter psalm. A couple times from now we'll be in Psalm 119, and so you may budget your time that day for a little bit extended period. Well, we'll take it a section at a time. Psalm 117 is a blessing to us as Gentiles welcomed into God's people. It is a blessing, firstly, because we see the universal nature of the gospel. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Exalt him, all you peoples. We catch a glimpse here of what the Jews in Jesus' day had forgotten and what we so easily forget. That the gospel is for more than just me. The gospel buck does not stop here. We are to pass that buck right along and to reach out again and again and again with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What those Jews of old missed was that from the beginning there had been a grandness to God's scheme. There was a universal scope, not in the idea that all will be saved no matter what, but the idea that there was one gospel that would be taken to all kinds of people in every tribe and tongue and language and nation. In fact, in Revelation 7 verse 9, we see the fruition of this. Then I looked and there was a great multitude which no one could count. That's a good reminder for us. It's not us four, no more lock the door. The gospel is an expansive gospel. I weary of those who speak of our corner as if we're the ones getting everything right, and we really need to doubt the faith of everybody just to the left of us. Then I looked, and there was a great multitude which no one could count, from all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. That's a glorious picture. That's the fullness of Psalm 117 portrayed for the Apostle John. James Montgomery Boyce, in his comments on this text, said, "Here then is a true Christian universalism. Not that all people will be saved regardless of the God they believe in, but rather that all people may be saved through Jesus Christ. To put it in other words, this is a profound missionary psalm, for it is calling on people everywhere to praise God." And he goes on and says, "We are always in danger of rejecting or restricting this universalism and forgetting our calling to be a missionary people, because we tend to be self-satisfied and look down on others. This was true of the Jews at the time of the early Christian mission. At the very beginning of the Bible, God taught that the gospel was to be for all people, since he told Abraham, 'All peoples on earth will be blessed through you,' Genesis 12:3. Which God told Abraham, 'I will bless them who bless you and curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth will be blessed.'" Well, by that you mean all families like us on our part of the earth, right? No. It's an expansive universal gospel. And what a blessing it is for us as Gentiles, as we reflected in our time in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul delineates where we were without Christ, that we were at that time apart from Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Not a good place to be. In the same place that many in our community and in our cities nearby are. They are in a very dark place. And they need the light of Jesus Christ to shine upon them as the gospel is preached to them. That's the universal nature of the gospel. Secondly, and I wasn't very creative here, but secondly, we see the gospelness of the gospel. The gospel is good news. It is a great message for us who are without hope. Why should we praise the Lord as the nations? Why in our peoples should we praise the Lord? For his merciful kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness is great toward us. That's a wonderful, brief summary of the gospel. Why should we praise him? Because the gospel is good news. His merciful kindness is great toward us. Now, there are a couple of ways to understand this word great in our English usage. One is, you know, that was a great game. That was big. That was stunning. That was, we would say, stellar. The largeness of it all. And there's that aspect to the gospel. But there's another usage of this word that speaks in an overwhelming way. This is the flood waters rising greatly upon the earth and other such usages. And I think it lends itself toward that. The overwhelming nature, the irresistible grace of the gospel, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. We don't want it because in our fallen state, we don't even know what it is or why it would benefit us or that we should want it. Now, there have been moments like that for me where I'm distracted, I'm thinking about a problem and someone say, hey, you might want this. And I'm pushing them away. I'm not even focused on what they're talking about or what they're pointing to. And then I realize they're standing there holding the key to my problem. That's us and our sin. We push God away. We don't desire it. We don't want it. No, my life is upside down. My marriage is in shambles. My health is a wreck. Just life is not going as I thought it should. And somebody says, well, here's the answer. Here is Christ. And we're pushing them away because we don't even know that he addresses it, let alone how he addresses it. And yet his merciful kindness overwhelms us and conquers us. Martin Luther said, although sin makes itself felt, death bears its teeth, and the devil frightens us, still there is far more grace to prevail over all sin, far more life to prevail over death, and far more God to prevail over all devils. In this kingdom, sin, death, and the devil are nothing more than the black clouds of the material heaven. For a time they may well conceal heaven, but they cannot prevail. They must stay beneath the heavens and suffer it to remain, prevail, and rule over them. And at last they must pass away. Therefore, although sin bites us, death frightens us, and the devil throws his weight around with temptation, these are still only clouds. The heaven of grace prevails and rules. In the end, they must remain below and surrender. The world, the flesh, and the devil, these mortal enemies that are so hell-bent on dragging us away, and yet God prevails. There could be, I love that line, far more God to prevail over all devils. We can think there are a lot of demons, but one singular, infinite, and eternal God is far more than all the devils that we could ever hope to imagine. The gospelness of the gospel, that it really is good news, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. It overwhelms us. It conquers us at our greatest point of need. And thirdly, we see the eternality of the gospel. His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. We might look at the psalmist and say, there's no need to be redundant. God can't help but be faithful forever because he is the eternal God, and he is faithful. And speaking of the temporary and limited nature of old covenant worship, the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 7, and the former priests were numerous because they were hindered from serving because of death. What a great line. They were hindered from serving because of death. The irony of Scripture. Why didn't you come to work today? Well, I was dead. Okay, you have an excuse. We'll excuse that, but don't let it happen tomorrow. So one generation of priests would rise up and they would serve. It was a slaughterhouse seeking to temporarily atone for the sins of God's people. Just sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And eventually someday that priest would not show up for work. And the next generation would come up, and it was this almost innumerable cloud of priests that were needed to accomplish the sacrifices for God's, to cover the sins of God's people. But see, the writer of the Hebrews is comparing this to Christ. But he, because he lives forever, has an everlasting priesthood. He's never voted out of office. He's never unseated. He is the priest forever. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, because he at all times lives to make intercession for them. Christ is before the heavenly throne, and he is constantly making our case. And he never calls in sick, and he never calls in dead. He is there forever, advocating for us, making intercession for us. So therefore, the good news of the gospel never comes to an end for God's people. It goes on forever. It's an eternal gospel. The good news lasts. So therefore, what have we to do except to praise the Lord? To praise the Lord. And that's the final command of this psalm. Let it fly. Praise him. Why? Because the gospel is good news, and it never ends, and it's for all peoples. It's for all peoples. We understand the doctrinal truth, the scriptural truth of election, that God has chosen a certain number to be saved. But on the human side of it, there is nothing that bars or disqualifies someone. Not the nation they're from, not the family they're from, not the color of their skin, not the color or presence or lack of presence of their hairdo. Nothing disqualifies. It is for all peoples. If one is to be saved, there's no second, well, you go in that line. No, there's only one line. It's the line to Jesus. There is only one gospel for all peoples. It's universal. It's truly good news. And it goes on forever. Therefore, we praise the Lord. We reflected some on Psalm 117 when we were in Romans 15. And Paul wraps up this section where there are those trying to, you know, figure out what to do with the Gentiles, or do they fit because they're Gentiles. And we can think to the Jerusalem Council and, you know, that whole thing of the Jews who were fine with Gentiles becoming Christians as long as they became Jews first. And the apostles came along and said, cut that out. We're not doing that anymore. The gospel will be immediately applied. They don't have to come through Judaism. They can come straight to Christ. And Paul writes in Romans 15, therefore welcome one another, just as Christ also welcomed us for the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will acknowledge you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praises to your name. For he also says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. He who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. From the beginning, God had this plan to use the vehicle of the people of Israel to take the gospel to the entire world. In the Old Testament, it was centralized in Israel. It was a come and see religion. You had to make your way to Mount Zion. In the New Testament, it's a go and tell religion, taking the gospel to all places, all peoples, all tribes, all tongues. And that is still the call upon us today. That is still the call. And if we cannot go, we are to pray and to support. We must be a missionary people. We must understand that the gospel is not just for us sitting in this room, but the gospel is for those out there. Those who are dirty and wretched and blind and deaf, spiritually without hope in this world. The gospel must be taken to them. And we must be the ones to take it. That's how it happened for us. That's how it happened that we have come to praise the Lord, to exalt him. Because we were once the non-people, but he has made us his people. He has called us his own. And now the onus is on us. Will we be missionaries? Will we take the gospel and see Psalm 117 fulfilled all the more in Revelation 7:9? To see so many, more than we could imagine, more types than we can imagine, more nations than we can imagine, more languages than we could imagine, gathered at the throne of Jesus to worship him forever. Stand with me as we pray.